When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to Series 3, Episode 24 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Jesse Lingard is a man once again. Romelu Lukaku proves himself on the big stage. Mourinho sees of Conte. We haven't been with you for a while for various reasons, but we're back and let's start with that Chelsea game. United's second comeback win in the Premier League this season, apparently, and the first time we've come from behind to beat a big six side since the 4-2 against City in April 2015 under Van Gaal. But a very good win, well managed by Mourinho, and probably the best place to start is with Romelu Lukaku. A fantastic game and his best game in the United shirt, you'd say.
Yeah, definitely. I have to agree. Brilliant performance by him, especially after he got, his goal. That seemed to take a huge weight off his shoulders. And to be fair to Lukaku, I think this is kind of the reward for him for what has been, I think, a very, very good last couple of months for him. You know, we spoke a lot about his performances with the ball at his feet, especially after the City game. But the last couple of months, he has really, really improved that aspect of his game. His hold-up play has got so much better. His link-up play, especially with Martial, has become really, really strong. And this, I think, was the culmination of that. We saw everything that we thought Lukaku was going to bring. He had very, very good hold-up play for the majority of the game, especially after his goal. Took his goal very, very well. I think the 93rd minute, that surging run through Chelsea's defence just kind of summed up his afternoon. That was exactly what we thought Lukaku was going to bring. I would definitely say his best performance in a United shirt, and gets a goal and an assist to go along with it as well. It was brilliant. And like I said, I don't think this has come out of nowhere. It was just the first time he's put in that kind of performance against a big team, which is what we've all wanted.
Yeah, that late surge of pace and power to beat, I think he beat at least two defenders, maybe more, and then win a corner. I think it's coming from a growth in confidence over the last few months, and I genuinely think there's been a significant improvement in Lukaku's hold up play, because a lot of the time when Lukaku was failing before, sort of you think in the period where he lost confidence when he was in the goal drought, so from about the October international break until the Manchester derby back in December, sort of mid December time, I think a lot of his hold-up play then, the reason people saw it as bad was because he would actually hold up the ball. It's not he'd miss it the whole time. Occasionally, he'd jump for a header and not compete for it, and you think, what's that? But on the whole, he'd get the ball and then just lose it. Key bit of improvement has been him managing to get control of the ball, and then once he's got that is where the improvements come. It's where he's laying it off to Martial. He's got a better connection with Jesse Lingard, with Martial, with Pogba even, and it's transformed his game. And it's not just a sudden improvement. I think it's a steady improvement ever since that City game where he was truly woeful. And I don't know how he was kept on the pitch. It's been an improvement. A fair play to Mourinho for sticking with him. Not just in the context of the whole season, but in the context of a big game like that where he's shown his faith. I think it was the wrong decision at the time. I still think it does. But I think Mourinho showing that faith in him in big games like City, where he didn't perform well and he was still kept on the pitch, and then continually starting and starting and starting and not being dropped for United, has helped him develop that skill and keep his confidence.
I think a key turning point in the season for Lukaku was the draw against Leicester. Yeah. Obviously, we didn't come out of that game with the win that we should have had, but came. I think it was around 2 weeks after the Manchester derby, And at that point, I would definitely have said it was his best game in a United shirt. He didn't get a goal, but his all-round play that day was phenomenal. He could have had about 5 assists, and we all remember all the missed chances. And his hold-up play, his link-up play. And one thing that we really hadn't seen from him before was the ability to actually put brilliant through balls to put his teammates through on goal, which was something we hadn't seen from Lukaku at United. And for me, that was his best performance until this Chelsea game. And I think that was a big turning point, because it was very possible, I think, for Lukaku to, after that City game, kind of go into an even bigger lull, even bigger drop in form with his confidence shattered. But he really bounced back well. And that Leicester game was a big deal for me. And it really showed what Lukaku can do when he is able to have good general play. And it showed exactly what he can bring to us. And I think since then, you know, the goals haven't dried up. They haven't been as prolific as they were at the start of the season. But, you know, I was watching Match of the Day. Normally, Match of the Day pundits' analysis isn't exactly great. But Craig Chapman made the point that, you know, he's got 22 goals now in his first season at United, which is no mean feat. And there's not many people that come to a club the size of United with the pressure that brings, especially with the money that we ended up paying for him, and score 22 goals in their first season. And I think we have to kind of take stock of that a little bit and remember how much he has given to us. And hopefully now he can start giving us that, everything that he can bring to the table in the biggest games too. And hopefully this is sort of the launching pad for the rest of the season and beyond.
Yeah, I think so much of Lukaku's skill was shown in that game. You saw the power, the pace, the good finishing, the composure, the stamina. I mean, take that surging run at the end that you described earlier and won us a corner late in the game. That sort of action and an event from Lukaku is just as important as an important tackle near the end of the game, keeping the pressure off from the Premier League champions, who are putting a barrage on United's goal come the end of the game. The stamina to have that, Lukaku's played in almost every game in all competitions this season for United. The stamina to be able to do that at the end of such a big effort in a game, I mean, that's extraordinary. And then you see the power and pace come into that, the composure for the finish, and a great first touch for that as well, and the ability to for a big lad to sort your feet out there was brilliant. And you saw the range of Lukaku's non-goal scoring contribution. So for Lingard, he got the assist, great feet, beats two defenders, and then an accurate cross to Lingard. And then for his own goal, you've got Lukaku, albeit a mistouch originally, recovers from that, and then there's some nice interlinked passing play, good movement to spot where Martial's going to play the ball and get into that rather than standing on his heels. Lukaku created his own goal and created the second goal. You really saw the range of Lukaku's ability, and a lot of the time he's criticised for being a one-dimensional striker for just scoring goals, and even further for just scoring goals against the small teams. But he's done it in a big game. He's done it when United needed him, both for his own goal, for the equaliser, and for Lingard's goal. A cool finish, a great assist, and only 4 Premier League players have now scored more than Lukaku, and no centre forward has provided more assists for their team. I mean, as an all-round player, that's a fantastic record for a player who's come from a smaller club to the biggest club in world football and performed, and for some reason it's been criticised a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you kind of saw a little bit of that frustration about the criticism that he's had throughout the season after the game. He came out and said, you know, I deserve more respect for what I've been doing this season. I think that's true. You know, obviously the games everyone's going to remember are the biggest games, and ultimately that's where the best players leave their mark. But I don't think we should forget the contribution that he has given us all season. Like you said, most assists out of any centre forward to their team this season. 22 goals now, 21 before the Chelsea game. You know, these are very, very good returns for a striker coming to a new club, a huge, huge club with massive pressure in their first season. That, in general, is seen as a very, very good return at the end of the season, let alone at the end of February, with still 3 months to go. So I think we do have to kind of keep that in perspective a little bit. And hopefully this will kind of get that pressure off his back about getting his goal against the big teams, and we can see more performances like this from him going forward. I have a lot of respect for Lukaku, I think, after this season, just because not only have his performances been very good, and he's rebounded from a lot of criticism throughout the whole season, whether that be beforehand, before the season about the price tag, during the season about his performances in big games, or, you know, the constant stigma around his first touch and things like that. He just seems to bat it all away and just keeps playing. And I think we're really starting to see the best of Lukaku in the last month or so. And let's hope that continues throughout the rest of the season. He seems to be offering a much better partnership now with like the likes of Martial and Pogba than we saw even right at the start of the season. A lot of his goals weren't coming from kind of great interplay where he was involved. It was sort of him getting on the end of good team moves. So it's nice to see him become a little bit more involved in the build-up to all of his goals as well. I'm just really looking forward to what the rest of the season might hold for Lukaku, and then hopefully what he can bring to us next season as well.
Yeah, and in terms of demanding respect, it wasn't quite give me respect, but it. I mean, you look at the coverage of Lukaku's performance, a lot of it is, why can't he do this more often? I mean, and this isn't just... I mean, Match of the Day is fairly soon after. It wasn't on there. But minutes after the game, after Lukaku's put in a fantastic performance, the coverage should be and would be for most players is, what a good performance. This is what he can do. This is what people should realise he can do. Not, why isn't he doing this more often? Praise should also go to Jose Mourinho. His impact in the middle of games has been questioned a lot since, I mean, over the last 3-4 years, really. I think most people still accept that he's a quality manager overall, but there are a lot of questions whether he can make game-changing decisions. You come out at half-time, United are quicker, more aggressive, more incisive, creating more chances, and looked like they knew what they were doing in comparison with the first half, where it was a bit shaky. Get the equaliser, and then after that, goes further, makes a winning substitution. Antonio Conte brings off Eden Hazard. That proves to be a big mistake and a very questionable decision. And Mourinho brings on Lingard, and he scores 11 minutes later. It's a nice reminder of Mourinho's effect within games as a manager.
This was a huge, huge game for Mourinho. Watching our performance in the first half, seeing us go a goal down, you could sense the potential for this to be... Not the end for Mourinho, but a very, very big dent in his time at Man United. The whole atmosphere for the whole game at Old Trafford was really strange. It seemed very, very tense. I mean, it was very subdued, first of all, for a game, a big game like Chelsea. And when the goal went in, you could see the crowd getting restless the whole game. Anytime, you know, we'd get the ball and people wouldn't look to go forward, the crowd was getting more and more frustrated. And I think the comeback and the way that Mourinho played such a big role in that comeback was huge for him in terms of A, keeping a lot of the fan base on side, which I'm sure he doesn't really care about as long as he's getting wins, but also, I guess, reinforcing belief among the fans and the players that actually we can do this in big games. We can, just because we go down 1-0 doesn't mean that we're never going to come back, because a lot of the games this season, it's almost been like you turn up for a 0-0, and if you concede, it's game over. So yeah. I think this was a really, really important win. And I think on Sky, they showed a stat that we've now got the most goals from substitutes of any team in the Premier League. So
yeah, I think it's 10 this season now. I think yeah. City are after 9, which isn't surprising given they've scored a preposterous amount of goals. But I mean, if you look at United as well, we haven't actually scored that much this season. So for 10 of our goals to be from substitutions is incredible. And most of them Jesse Lingard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it just goes to show the depth we have in our squad at the moment as well, especially in attacking areas. Now, we do have a lot of options to come off the bench. On Sunday, it was, let's say it was that trio starting again up front, Lukaku, Sanchez and Martial. Then you've got Rashford, you've got Lingard to bring on. Maybe Ibrahimovic when he's fit as well. There's a lot of different options. Mata can come on. There's a lot of different options for us going forward. So it seems like we're in a good spot there. It's just a case, I think, of nailing down a starting 11 at the moment for Mourinho. Very pleased that we switched to a 4-3-3 against Chelsea. I think, you know, first half we struggled, especially in midfield. Our midfield got bypassed a lot with Chelsea on the counter-attack. But in the second half, it was a lot better. And I think even more credit to Mourinho for that, because clearly the changes that he made at half-time worked and he really galvanised the players. And we looked a completely different team in the second half. The last 45 minutes of that Chelsea game, I would say, it's probably the best we've played against the top six side in definitely this season and maybe in quite a few years.
Yeah, right. Let's talk. I mean, you mentioned the 4-3-3. Let's talk about the three men in midfield, starting with McTominay. I mean, first of all, the goal, shambles from him. Really, really poor and really questionable decision making. And yep. That can't be glazed over. If you track a player like Willian, I mean, come on. It was obvious to anyone watching what McTominay should have done, but made up for it with a very solid performance. I don't think I've ever used the word solid to describe a player more than with Scott McTominay. It's nothing special. It really isn't. And it's...
yeah, it is true.
Yeah, but
true.
Marshalling...
It's just how you describe him a lot of the time. I mean, on the ball, he's nothing special. You know, I think we all accept that. But he does a job for the team. I feel like I've used that phrase for him so often as well. He does a job for the team. But apart from the goal, which was really, really bad on his part. You know, you've either got to pass the man on when he first starts making the burst forward and make sure one of the centre backs picks him up, or you've got to follow the run the whole way. You can't do the sort of halfway house job. But he recovered from that well. Especially after Chelsea's goal, he struggled a little bit to contain Hazard before that, but after that, he contained Eden Hazard pretty well.
Yeah.
Especially in the second half, him and Matic worked really well together. And then for Lingard's goal, you know, it was his ball that started the whole thing off. Nice ball down the channel for Lukaku. He seems to be growing a lot every game that he plays. You know, Sevilla wasn't his best game in a United shirt, but he was okay. Definitely not the worst player on the pitch. And against Chelsea, especially second half, he was very, very good.
Yeah, and fantastically well grounded. Speaking with Lukaku after the game, and that shows on and off the pitch. But yeah, marshalling Eden Hazard, who I would say remains the Premier League's best player, is a difficult job, and he did it very well. The weaknesses in his game came in other aspects, and he is very, very, he's earning Mourinho's trust, and that's a very hard thing to do. And if you earn Mourinho's trust, you know you have a future at the top level of football. He stepped up to the plate, certainly. I mean, just on Hazard, I mean, think about it. He's been marked by McTominay the whole game, and basically McTominay's sole focus is Hazard, and yet still he managed to have an impact on the game. It's just, it reminded me just how good he is. But Nemanja Matic, I mean, we mentioned it with Lukaku and United as a whole, but Matic probably his best game in 4 or 5 months, maybe. One of his best games, a United shirt. Completely dominant defensive performance in midfield. Assured, composed, leading that midfielder and leading United in a way. He's not going to give someone a bollocking for their role in a goal. He's not going to do that with McTominay. But you see, I mean, who's Mourinho passing the note to when Eric Bailly comes on late on to sort of consolidate United's lead? It's Nemanja Matic. He's that experienced figure in midfield, and a brilliant performance. Interceptions, tackles, important when United under pressure, blocking shots, did the best out of United's midfield in terms of preventing Chelsea from extending their lead, and looked visibly annoyed when United did give up the lead after all his hard work.
Great, great performance by Matic. Yeah, it really was, especially second half. I mean, like the rest of our team improved a lot. But even in the first half, he was really the only one in midfield that was managing to stop anything. There were so many times in the second half where, you know, we'd have good periods of play and Chelsea would look to counterattack, generally through Willian. And the amount of times Matic broke up the play was just brilliant. So many great tackles to make sure that Willian couldn't start running in on the back four. It was a really, really good performance from a defensive midfielder. He just did everything that you want from them. He didn't try and do anything too fancy with the ball, you know, realising that other players around him are more suited to play that role. He marshalled the back four really, really well. And to be fair, I think it's not been an isolation, that game. Matic he's had his ups and downs this season. There's definitely been games where it seems like the pace of the game bypasses him a little bit. But I think by and large, he's been a very, 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 very solid, consistent performer. And especially in the big games, he's been really the only one in midfield who's been able to put up much of a fight in midfield and actually managed to control things a little bit. So really, really positive from Matic, I think. And probably definitely his best big game performance for us yesterday. He's been a very solid performer all year. And, you know, we talk about Mourinho's trust a lot. He is certainly in Mourinho's good books. He always has been. And I think it just kind of shows the trust that Mourinho has in him. Like you said, to pass him the note during the game, he is really seen as the leader on that pitch, even if he isn't wearing the captain's armband.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a word. I mean, we're praising Lukaku in comparison to Morata, the better player on the side, praising Matic. You look at United and Chelsea's transfer business, I mean, we've come off better. Paul Pogba, not amazing, but influenced the game and some amazing moments. I think there was one little turn where you sort of managed to manoeuvre his way out of three Chelsea players. But not a sensational performance, but the kind that if he puts in consistently, he will start to get credit for. If he puts that kind of performance in consistently in big games, he'll start to people realise and recognise his value to the side. I think some people are expecting like wow performances every time, But I'd rather have consistent performances like that than have the occasional game, like the Everton game, where you just sat back on New Year's Day, where you just sat back and thought, oh, I mean, just amazing. You love to have that, but consistent things like these really make Pogba worth to the side.
Yeah, I think to sum up Pogba's performance, I would say, whilst it wasn't an incredible performance, it was definitely a positive performance.
Yeah.
And you know, Pogba, like Lukaku, has come in for a lot of criticism for his performances in big games. He often seems to try and do too much in big games and seems to be feeling the pressure. And I think this was probably his best performance against the top six side for United. He was a lot better in possession, gave the ball away far less. And like you said, some of the moments he pops up with were just incredible, some of them. He's a pleasure to watch when he pulls out some of those tricks. And it's just lovely to have someone like that in the team that you wonder at any moment what they might come up with. Doesn't always come off, but that was definitely a positive performance for him on Sunday. Very, very good in midfield. He was a little bit better defensively than he is normally as well, I thought. I mean, didn't have to do a whole lot because of the three-man midfield, which really helped him. But he seems to be getting more and more comfortable playing with the players around him, like Lukaku, like Martial. Still waiting for Alexis, you know, really to kind of gel with the team. I've been a little bit disappointed with the start that Alexis has made at Old Trafford. I think he's just not quite fitting in at the moment. Needs to find a more consistent role. But overall, Pogba's performance was pretty good. Like we said, not anything amazing, not anything to really write home about, but definitely a step in the right direction in terms of his performances in big games.
Quick mention to Jesse Lingard. We haven't got much time, but does it again, comes off the bench, is vital to Man United and hasn't started. I think he started three of the seven games since we've signed Alexis Sanchez, but has been far more important to Man United. And another quick mention for Luke Shaw. Since Mourinho said, I don't see many left backs better than Luke Shaw on January the 19th, Shaw has started one of the five Premier League games since. And Ashley Young has been not rubbish, but nothing special. So quite why Luke Shaw is not getting the chance, I'm not sure. Before we go to a youth roundup and then give our score prediction for the Palace game next Monday. Sevilla, we haven't recorded for a long time. We haven't even recorded since the Newcastle defeat. And the less said about that, the better, to be honest. But I saw Football365 dubbed United after the Sevilla game the masters of just doing enough. And that was an apt description. Relying on De Gea, there's nothing wrong about having a great goalkeeper. And it's needed to be a genuinely great team. But a genuinely great team doesn't rely upon their goalkeeper like United do. And it's worrying how much we do. And I mean, we just made Sevilla look like a much better side than they are, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, it was really, really frustrating watching that game. And I just think it was frustrating because not only are Sevilla, you know, they're not world beaters by any means. It's not like we were playing a Barcelona or a Real Madrid. And I understand it's a European away game, and I understand you want to go into the second leg still in the game. You don't want to go out there, go all guns blazing and end up losing 3-0 or whatever. But at the same time, Sevilla's weakness is in defence. They've conceded the most goals out of any team in the last 16 of the Champions League. And we didn't even try and exploit that the whole game. We had probably one clear-cut chance with Lukaku in the first half with the ball over the top from Alexis. And it was just a really scrappy, awful-to-watch game in a lot of ways. It was really not nice to watch us play just such negative football, I think. And you know, it's not like we were playing a team like Man City where maybe you can accept sitting back a little bit more because they are so good going forward. Sevilla are a decent team, but they're not amazing. And we didn't try and exploit their main weakness at the back. So it was a really, really disappointing performance. Ultimately lucky, even in the end, despite playing so defensively, to come away with a 0-0. And the problem is as well, you know, there's this sort of general logic that goes around that 0-0 is a great result away from home in the Champions League, but it's actually not that good of a result, because if we concede at home now, no matter what happens, we have to score two goals at least. And so it's actually not a brilliant result to come away with a 0-0. It's obviously better than losing, but 0-0 doesn't actually help us that much. It still just means that we have to win at Old Trafford. There is, you know, no, unless it's another 0-0, no draw. Well, I mean, even a 0-0 wouldn't send us through or take us back to extra time, but it's not as good of a result as we would have hoped for, but you would still back us to come away with the win at Old Trafford.
Yeah, definitely. I think the main thing, I mean, we're used to that mentality from Mourinho, but the main thing the Sevilla game showed to me was that the reliance upon individual quality from Mourinho yet again. And it was at the time, and after the Chelsea game, things are a bit more positive, and it shows just how fickle football is. But at the time, you're sitting there thinking, There are so many brilliant attackers in this side. Lukaku, Sanchez, Martial, Lingard, Mata, players like that. And they're all not performing at their best. And it's not, that isn't a coincidence in Mourinho's side. It's not to do with them underperforming. It's to do with the way that we're playing. And again, Football 365, summing things up perfectly as usual. I think it was Daniel Story was saying, no cause for crisis talks, little cause for celebration. And that has been the thing about United for the whole of this season, really, which is a worry. Right, we need to move on. The under-18s faced Everton on Saturday and consolidated their position at the top of the under-18 Premier League North with a 4-1 win against Everton, thanks to a double from young Mason Greenwood and goals from Larji Ramazani and Aidan Barlow. The under-23s faced Villarreal in the Premier League International Cup as we're recording this, while the under-19s were knocked out of the UEFA Youth League last week after a 2-0 loss to Liverpool, but it's the first time they've made it out of the groups and into the last 16, so an overall positive tournament. United have added Angel Gomez and Ethan Hamilton to the UEFA Champions League squad. Now, Crystal Palace on Monday night. United need to... It's a long break, Sunday. We got an 8-day break from the Chelsea game, and this is going into... This is sort of the easy game between a couple of hard ones and before three difficult ones against Liverpool, City and Sevilla. So, an important game. What are you predicting?
I'm going to go for a scrappy 2-1 win. I don't think it's going to be the easiest game. Palace have a lot of injury problems at the moment, which obviously helps us, but Selhurst is never the easiest place to go. We saw Spurs just about come away with a win this weekend. I think we will come away with a win, but I don't think it'll be a particularly good performance. And I think Alexis will get his first goal in the Premier League away from Old Trafford and from a non-penalty situation.
Yeah. You would hope Sanchez can improve. We didn't discuss him much, but not set to the world on fire. And is detracting from the side in a way, I would say. But we can discuss that more after the Palace game if that continues to be the case. But I'm going to go 3-1, but a poor performance and an undeserved 3-1 victory. We're both being sort of backhanded compliments to United. Negative praise and negative hopefulness. But there we go. So 3-1 or 2-1, according to us. That's all we have time for on Series 3, Episode 24 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Cheers for listening, as always. Been away for a while. We're nearing our 100th episode. Recording a special on the atmosphere at Old Trafford at the moment. We've spoken to Andy Mitten, founder United We Stand. Are speaking to Barney behind the club's other big fanzine, Red News, as well as a couple of veteran fans and hopefully one of the leaders of the J Stand group and someone from the Manchester United Supporters Trust. Whether that will be our 100th, we shall see how things go in the next week or so. But for now, for more from us, follow Jack on Twitter at
UTDTate, T-A-I-T.
And me at Harry Robinson 64 and the podcast itself at UTD Weekly Pod. That's P-O-D at the end there. Cheers for listening as always. Have a great week. Goodbye. Network.